today on Real Radio.
Young people, don't go with those who say, come on, let's go have fun. You better ask them what they mean first. And you know what? In this age, you better know them very well, because it could turn out to be a total disaster. These are dangerous days.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called What is Real, What is Relevant, Part 1, continues a series now called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. So glad you joined us today as we head towards the end of Isaiah. You know, we've seen the hand of God over everything that's happening in both Isaiah's time and the time when Jesus was here on earth in bodily form. But what becomes even more clear is God's unrelenting love for us. He not only gave us His Son as a sacrifice for our sins, but He gave us the hope of Christ's return, when He will rule and reign and bring His form of justice to the world. In Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, we learn that sin often keeps us from hearing from the Lord. God is able to forgive. He wants to hear from us. It's His will that we are renewed and restored whenever we confess to Him our sin and failures. Turning from our sinful lifestyle will not only strengthen and encourage us, it'll keep us in relationship with Him. So today, continuing in chapter 59, Pastor Jack tells us that we are creating a world that's detached from reality. We're actually looking for answers out there in the cosmos, but searching for the truth on other planets will only leave you alienated from true reality. God came to this world to reveal Himself. He's the answer to what is relevant in our lives. And now in his lesson called What is Real, What is Relevant, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
It's a terrible thing to be a parent to a godless child like that, because your heart says to do everything that's in your power to help them, but then you know down deep inside if you keep helping them, you're just perpetuating their destruction. And reason and logic says, pull back, don't help them anymore, cut them off. They're going to have to dry up. They're going to have to come to the end of themselves before they get, and that is true. Let them know you love them. Make sure they know the gospel. But it breaks your heart, does it not? Breaks your heart. And God is saying that. God is saying, you know what? I cannot have this kind of conduct in my family. I will not. And it's so tragic. And it's a world, and it's a people, it's a person, it's a sin that says, you know what? Every person in the world, they're available for me to use. They're just one step over another to another opportunity for me. You know people like that? I know people like that. You know what? I don't even want them within 10 feet of me, because I gotta reach for my wallet. I gotta make sure my car keys are, you don't know what's gonna happen. You know what I'm talking about? They're debased. They're godless. They are what's wrong with this world. Of course, they've got the microphone, so they're the ones saying that we're the ones that's wrong with this world. Evil is good now today, and good has now turned to evil. It's a very, very tragic thing. But it says that they grab onto, their life is like viper's eggs, which I don't know anything about this. Maybe it's a Middle East thing. I guess you eat these kind of viper eggs and it'll kill you. What's worse? You know what's worse than a big snake? A little snake. Did you know that? Did you know? You know how we, you know, you, if you live in Chino Hills or Diamond Bar area, you know, we have jumbo rattlesnakes. Have you seen some of the rattlesnakes? They're huge. Huge. You know what's worse? If you're going to get bit, which I don't recommend that, but if you were to get bit by a rattlesnake, you'd want to get bit by a big old rattlesnake. You want to know why? Because their venom is not as potent as a little rattlesnake. You know, a rattlesnake like the size of a worm. You know, a little rattlesnake, when they bite you, they release all their venom into you. The older ones release it in milliliters by the drop. The little ones just go and you're dead. They just let it all out. And Isaiah's saying, that's how sinners are. that are bent on hell. That's how they are. And what they're doing is so foolish. They live their life, and it's like clothing themselves with spider webs. You know what's interesting about a spider web? A spider secretes the web, the strand, and it's good for the night. And yet another insect, a worm, a silkworm, will secrete, and it's silk. And you can make suits out of it, right? And dresses out of it. Webs, you can walk right through them. I read an amazing story preparing for this message by Dr. H.A. Ironside. Dr. Harry Ironside was pastoring in Los Angeles here in the 1920s, or 30s, the 1930s. And Dr. Ironside talks about a man who, listen to this, this is before Spider-Man. No, I know that's funny with the spider and the web and all that, but listen. This is before Spider-Man. This guy was billed in downtown LA as the human spider. And everybody gathered around, Ironside said, downtown Los Angeles. And the guy went out and he started climbing up the wall of the building, the side of the high-rise building, of the brick building in downtown LA in the 1930s. And he's climbing and he got to about the fourth or fifth story. And he was there and everyone's looking on, and he reached out to pull himself up, and he reached and fell back and was killed. And everybody looked on as the human spider fell to his death in downtown Los Angeles. And Ironside said because he knew officers that had attended his church, the officers told them later when they examined the man, when they went to the body, the man had been obviously killed. But what was in his hand, listen to this. He was climbing a brick wall, but spiders had built an area of that brick wall that was all web, but the brick dust had fallen around the web and made it look like a brick. Exactly. And he reached for what he thought was a brick and grabbed it, and it was nothing but a clump of spider webs. And he fell to his death. And Ironside, Dr. Ironside points out, this is exactly what this portion of scripture is talking about. Evil goes out and they live their life, they do their thing, and they think they're creating for themselves a world, and it's made out of web. They'll fall to their death. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to go down the route that they're going. You don't want to be with friends that are heading down that route. Young people, don't go with those who say, come on, let's go have fun. You better ask them what they mean first. And you know what? In this age, you better know them very well, because it could turn out to be a total disaster. These are dangerous days. Be very, very careful. Verse 7 says, their feet run to evil. Wow. And they make haste to shed innocent blood. They think it's funny. They run to make mischief and to even injure people. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. Notice the word. They run and they make haste to go do evil. You know what's weird about this? It's weird how the body, the person, our mind, without Jesus Christ, without God governing our lives, have you noticed you and I, before we knew Jesus, remember how hard we used to work? I mean, I don't know about you, but I think so. Before I was a Christian, I worked really hard. My motive was pure money, right? But I was not a Christian, and that's what I did. And have you noticed, though, that we survived the weekends? If weekends were 3 days long, many of us may not have been here tonight. You work really hard, and then come Friday night, you would go out and make haste to find trouble to get into. And I marveled that now that I am older and I know what I'm doing to some degree, I can make much more better judgment calls and decisions now that I'm a Christian, that I don't have the energy to go and do good. Oh, yes, that's a great idea. Let's do it. Okay. All right. Let's go. But if you notice that there's people that they have evil in their mind, and they make haste to go do evil, and you see people They're tired all week because they work hard, and then it's time to do evil, and they've got the energy to do it. Think of it. It's kind of demonic. If we were not following Jesus, we'd have all kinds of energy on Friday. But we do follow Jesus, and so somebody says, come on, let's go down there and feed the homeless, or let's go down there and do this, and there's this outreach, and let's go do that. I said, oh man, I'd love to, but oh, I'm so tired. Right? It's so weird. It seems like sin gives you a boost. You get all this energy. Oh, let's do that. Isn't it weird? And you got to fight that. You got to push that off. And it's so true. Look, I'll prove it to you tonight. You want to, I mean, for some of us, I'm still working on this with my insomnia, but you want to go to sleep tonight? Okay, look, if you want to stay up tonight, watch a video game, play something on your iPod pad thing. That'll keep you up all night. You want to go to sleep? Open up your Bible. I think Satan comes out of the closet and starts playing the violin when you read your Bible. I mean, you just get all snoozy. And this is us as Christians. The world, they don't have the governor of the Holy Spirit. And they go rampant. They go crazy. It's tragic. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, 2 Timothy 3, 1, it says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. Men and women, men and women, mankind, will be lovers of themselves. Look out for number one. He who dies with the most toys wins. You know that really dumb talk? Lovers of themselves. Thinking that, you know what? Whatever I want, I'm going to get it. And I don't care how many people have to be hurt for me to have it. They crush people in life. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Wow, look what this, look who travels in this crowd of sin. Disobedient to parents. You know what that means? No regard for authority. That's what that means. You know what? Listen, look this up. Don't believe me. Go look at the stats. Kids who grew up disobedient to their parents wind up in jail or dead. Did you know that? Go look. See, that's ridiculous. Go look and see. Because they learn from a young age not to have any respect for authority. They don't respect their parents. They weren't taught to respect their parents. And so look, when they get old enough, they leave. And when they leave, they think they can manipulate people just like they did their parents. But they can't. And they wind up either getting imprisoned because they don't, why would they respect a police officer? Or they wind up getting killed. It's tragic. Look at the traveling partners in this warning in the last days. Unthankful. Wow. Unthankful. Unholy. Unloving. Unforgiving. So that means they're bitter. They're bitter, always complaining. I would think, right? Unloving, they don't care for anybody. They're always bitter and angry, critical of everybody and everything. Slanders, right? Oh, they open their mouth and they just tear that person down in front of other people. They just, without self-control. Does this sound like our world today, right? Brutal. Despisers of good, they make fun of what's good. Traitors, you can't make a deal with them. You can't work with them because they'll break the deal. You want to agree on this? Yeah, let's agree. And then before you even walk away from them, they're already planning on breaking the deal to use you. Headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Wow. And Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it basically sums it up by saying, for the wages of sin is death, leads to the end. Look at verse 8. It says, the way of peace they've not known, and there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. This is amazing. Crooked paths. You should circle the word crooked. Crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. This is a profoundly simple but undeniable, relevant an important statement. Listen to this. The word crooked here, in the Hebrew word, it's this. It means to twist or to bend that which is straight. It means to take something that is right and make it wrong. It means to take what is straight and to make it crooked, or to become, listen, the word is translated to make something that is wholesome, perverted. So it's to take what's intended to be good and you convert it into perversion. By the way, when's the last time you heard the word pervert or perversion? Can't even say the word pervert anymore. Well, it's a real word, you know. And this word here, to make crooked, is to pervert the way. To pervert. Who perverts the way? A perverted person. What's a perverted person? I've heard the word, but what does it mean? It means a person that has crooked logic. Their brain and heart is twisted. A person that's perverted is a twisted person. How do you know? Because they take a good thing and they make it bad. You know anybody like that? They take an opportunity, they destroy it. They take an overture and they crush it. They take love and they throw it into the ground. They're given something, they break it. There's a path of destruction everywhere they go. God says, don't be like that. Keep me in your thoughts. Keep me ever before you, because if you don't, this is what happens when you cannot look into the mirror and see the person that I created you to be and that I want you to be in Christ. If you don't look in the mirror, then you're going to look at yourself inside. You won't look at your face, but you're going to look everywhere you go. You're going to be looking for and looking on behalf of your self-wants. And you'll use people, you'll manipulate people. And you'll say things like, well, if you really loved me, and you know, you're so nice to everybody else, but there's just this game. And he's warning us. And that word crooked is so colorful in the tragic, to be perverted. Isaiah 5:11 says, woe to those who rise early in the morning, that they may follow intoxicating drink, who continue until night, till wine inflames them. They take something and they ruin it. Isaiah 5:18 says, what sorrow for those who drag their nets behind them. Listen to this. What sorrow for those who drag their nets, or sins, excuse me, who drag their sins behind them. Imagine this in your imagination. They're pulling their sins behind them with ropes made of lies, who drag wickedness behind them like a cart. It's all this baggage in life. They're pulling all of their dealings with people and their abuse of people. And then finally this one, Isaiah 5:20-21 says, what sorrow for those who say that evil is good and good is evil, that dark is light and light is dark, that bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter. What sorrow for those who are wise in their own eyes and think themselves so clever. Isn't that powerful? All because we may have had God in our minds at one time. We thought about God. We were young, maybe. Those of you, maybe you grew up in a Christian church or whatever upbringing you had where God was there, and you had some restraint, some knowledge of God, and then you kind of washed God out of your mind and out of your heart. Or maybe you've become a Christian and this has gone on in your life where you've gotten away from him, thinking like that of him. You know, it's tragic, and I'll wrap this up. It's tragic, you guys, that it's very easy to do. All we have to do is relax in our pursuit of God. Kind of just let go of a moment. Last Sunday, in between one of the services, I was talking to a gentleman, and I don't remember how we got on this. Oh, the topic, he's a police officer, and the topic was the issue of death. And he said something to the effect, well, the person just gave up. The person just gave up. And I asked him, I said, have you ever come close to dying? And his story was in somewhat like mine, in the sense that it had to do with drowning. He said, oh my goodness, one time I almost drowned. And I said, me too, twice actually, for me. And I said, I wonder, you know, I love the water so much, and you'd think I'd stay out of the water, because two times it's almost killed me. And so we started telling stories. What happened to you? And he told me his thing. He's like, oh. But what's amazing is how fragile life is. Yes, many of us, many of you, thank God for you. Many of you have a child. You sponsor a child in the Love Molly Project, your school in West Africa. It's 100% funded by you. 700 Muslim children getting the best education in the entire country because of you. You ought to look it up, by the way. If you're not involved, you ought to look it up. You ought to check it out. And Pastor Steve just got back from Africa, and he said, Jack, your young man, the young boy that you and Lisa sponsored, it appears he got bit by a mosquito and died of malaria. And it, what? Think of it, a mosquito? Are you kidding me, a mosquito? Well, in that part of the world, yes. So fragile life is. You don't know. In your life, what's real? What's really relevant? Seriously? $195,000 Mustang? Really? Come on. Okay, I'm not going to fault you if you buy it and you drive it and all. That's your business. You know what? That's your business. But you know you don't need it, right? And if in our lives there's some sort of sin that God is speaking to us about, maybe God is saying, you know what? Listen, friends, this is for all of us. If God is saying, you need to bring this to me. If God is saying, you need to take this thing of your life and you need to bring it here. I want you to know something right now. If you bring it to Jesus, I just have to warn you, he will not stop there. He'll conquer your heart and your mind. And he'll go to work in your life, and you know what? He'll reach down, he'll grab that thing like the dentist does, and he'll pull that infected tooth out of your jaw, blood flying everywhere, going every which way, but it's out. And Jesus will reach down and say, you know what, this place of pride in your life, I'll help you with the smoking and I'll help you with the eating and we'll take care of this. Your cussing mouth, we'll fix that one. But I'm telling you, Jack, Judy, Fred, Barney, whatever your name is here tonight, he'll just go like this. We'll get this one done. We'll get that out of the way. But I'm going for that. That's the Christian life. He never stops.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a message called What is Real, What is Relevant, Part 1. We're so glad you joined us today. And as always, remember that the high cost of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. What is Real, What is Relevant, Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, with so much to filter through on social media and all the fake news that's going on, it's hard to get the truth. And when it comes to Christianity, some people will tell you that Jesus was just a really good teacher, while others will say he was only a prophet and not the Christ. Some people believe that there is no God and that God had no son, when the miracle of creation and salvation proves otherwise. Well, we're hoping that your longing for peace has really got you thinking about what is real and what is relevant in your own life. So if you're still wondering about God or how Jesus relates to you personally, we're here to help. Simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Click on the tab there that says Know God. That's spelled K-N-O-W, God. And once you're there, we really believe that your questions about God and salvation are going to be answered. But if you want to learn more, we'll provide a way for you to contact us if you'd like. It's important that you fully understand what making a commitment to Jesus Christ is all about. Jesus loves you, and he wants you to accept his free gift of eternal life. Again, it's called Know God. That's the tab you want to click on. And you'll find that at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.